Okay. So Bereshis for Rice, Early Wits, Chashvik Kehila. So it's always a tremendous chus to share some Torah with Yidden. I don't take it lightly. I don't take it as something small. And especially when you're talking about a chevra getting together, that's time to learn. But Ashrei Matel Chalkeinim, that's really what this is. This is a maimed, which is establishing and celebrating how there is one nation on earth that has its head on straight, you know? And that's really what this is about. So, not only is there going to be learning, but there's Hashem, right? And Mesechus Megillah at the end. So I figured, Rishus Rabbanan, it'll be, maybe it's an appropriate time to talk about Torah in general, and specifically to connect it to the Mesechta that Bez Hashem will be learned, Mesechus Megillah. Okay, so as far as I'm aware, we didn't learn Mesechus Megillah yet, so I don't want to spoil the ending for you, but what we're going to be learning tonight for a few minutes is a sugya that comes up at the end of Mesechus Megillah. And one of the most amazing, one of the most beautiful things about Yiddishkeit is that there's nothing that's small. There's nothing that's small, there's nothing that's just a throwaway idea, an insignificant fact. Everything in Yiddishkeit, every little piece of Yiddishkeit somehow contains all of Yiddishkeit. And that's one of the amazing things, you know, Chazal say, which this past Shabbos, we learned Parshas Yisra. So Chazal say that, Anoichi v'lo yilecha, right? The first two commandments, I am Hashem, your God, you shall not have any other gods. V'pi ha-gavur shamanu. We heard it from the mouth of power. From the Rabbanu Shlomo's own mouth, Kivyochel. V'pi ha-gavur. Now that's an interesting thing, that in that Chazal, the Rabbanu Shlomo is called Gavura. Because it's ironic, although that the Rabbanu Shlomo does have a midah that he interacts with the world through, and that he reveals himself as, which is the midah of Gevura, Ata Gibor L'Adam Hashem. But Chazal, the truth is, make a point that the maimed of Har Sinai, the experience of Har Sinai, relative, for example, to Kriyas Yamsuf, was not a maimed of Gevura. Chazal say that by Kriyas Yamsuf, for example, the Rebbeinu Shlom appeared, so to speak, to the Jewish people as a young man who's waging a war, Hashem Ishmol Chama. Mashenkin, as opposed to Har Sinai, Chazal described that the Rabbanu Shlomo was manifested in such a way as a Zakein Mali Rachman, as an old man that's full of compassion, teaching young children. So it's ironic that of all the terms that we can use to describe the Rabbanu Shlomo speaking to us, Dafka by Har Sinai, which Bechlal, in a certain sense, the Rabbanu Shlomo is revealing himself as a Zakein Mali Rachman. So the first thing that we describe, the first communication of the Rabbanu Shlomo is called Mipi HaGvura. So one of the explanations is that, you know, the Midah of Gvura, we think of it as just strength, their muscular strength or willpower. The real definition of Gvura is the ability to take something that's very, very large and to constrict it into something very, very small. That's really what the Midah of Gvura is. That's why when Chazal say that Ezo Giba, Mishnah Perkei Avos, who is the strong person, HaKoyvesh Es Yitzray, means that the Yitzhara is overflowing, energy and passion is overflowing out of a person. And if you're a Gibor, you're able to take that energy and to constrict it and to hold it within yourself, that it shouldn't overflow and spill over into ugly places. And so the Midah of Gvur is really a Midah of constriction. Anoichi v'le'ilecha means that the Rabbanu Shalom said, this is who I am. And the Rabbanu Shalom is Ein Soif, he's infinite. He's very, very big. The Chiddush of Har Sinai is that the Rabbanu Shlomo takes his infinite self and packages it into the smallest of details. That every single piece of Yiddishkeit, as small and as insignificant as it might seem to the superficial eye, as small as it is, contains within that Anoichi v'lo'yilecha, mipi ha'gavur shema. And so that's what's most amazing about Yiddishkeit. And when you begin to investigate any little prat, you can find Anoichi v'lo'yilecha within it. So let's do that. Let's try to do that for a few minutes. Let's take a sugya, specifically at the end of Maseches Megillah, and it might seem initially as something small, but let's find the Noichet V'Li'ilcha in that prat. Okay, so let's begin like this. In the Marmakamis that you have, so in Marmakam number one, this is a line from the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, what we're going to be learning about is something that we're all, the visual of it, the experience of it is something that we've all had, which is Hagba and Galila by Kriyas HaTorah. So we lay Torah Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning, Shabbos Mincha, and then after the laning, Some communities do it before, do Hagbah before, but most communities do Hagbah after. So laning is done. We got to put the Sefer Torah away. So there's a whole ceremony that we go through, right? There's Hagbah. Someone picks it up, shows the whole tzibur, Zayis HaTorah. And then there's Galila. He sits down, wraps it up. He has an assistant helping him. Hagbah and Galila. Then they put the Sefer Torah away. Okay. Listen, you got to put the Sefer Torah away. You can't leave it on the bima. So there's a thing. It's called Hagbah and Galila. So let's investigate that sugya, at least one aspect of the sugya, and we'll see where it takes us. So, Marmok number one is a piece of the Shulchan Aruch. There's an Archayim Sim Kuf Mem Zayin Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch says a simple line, and we'll see where it comes from. Shulchan Aruch says, Gaidel Sheva Aysim Shekaru B'Torah Gaila. Shulchan Aruch is telling us that, you know, you have, there are halachas in terms of people that get an Ali, right? So we're all familiar with it. The first one's going to be a Kayan, if there is one, Levi, and then Yisrael. The truth is, by times of Chazal, and the Rambam quotes it as well, that even after the third Aliyah, there's also sort of a hierarchy. At this point, it's sort of we don't really do that anymore. But at least Kain Levi Yisrael we have. So it says the Shulchan Aruch though that of all the people that got an Aliyah, after all the Aliyahs are done, whether it be three on a Monday, Thursday, or seven on Shabbos, and so on, Gadol Shavaisim Shekaru B'Torah, the greatest among all those that read in the Torah. In other words, of all the people that got an Aliyah, the greatest, the most chashuv of all of them, Gaylai. He should be the one to wrap up the Torah. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch calls it Gaila, we call it Hagbah. So the one, the greatest of all the ones that got an Aliyah, he gets Hagbah. It's interesting. Okay. Now, we'll see a little bit. Now, our custom is not like this 100%. The general custom is that the one that gets Hagbah is usually not one of the Aliyah, one of the people that got the Aliyah. But there is such a thing, as we'll see, that Hagbah, or, you know, again, what Chazal in the Mishnah, in Shulchan Aruch, and the earlier sources called Galila, that's considered to be one of the most chashuv kibudim, and really the most chashuv person in the shul should get that. And not only that, says the Shulchan Aruch Befrat, not just anyone in the shul, but specifically the ones that got an aliyah, someone, the greatest of the ones that already got an aliyah should be the one to get Hagbah. So let's investigate where this comes from, and why is it, and what does it tell us about our own Avodas Hashem. Okay, so the source of this is, like I said, it's a Gemara at the end of Masechet Megillah. So Marmokah number two, says the Gemara Megillah Lam Beis Med Aleph. Okay, all the way at the end. So it says the Gemara like this: Omer Rav Shfatia, Omer Rav Yochanan. Rav Shfatia said in the name of Rav Yochanan the following line: Asara Shekaru B'Torah. You have 10 people, and there's Kriyas HaTorah, the 10 people that read in the Torah. Hagadol Shobehem, the greatest of the minion, Goyel Sefer Torah, he should be the one to do Galila, or again, what we call Hagbah. That's what Rav Shfatia said in Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara continues, Hagoyloi, you should know, this person that gets Hagbah, or Galila, Noitos Charkul, he gets the reward of everyone. He gets the reward of all the people that got the Aliyah. The one that gets the Hagbah, he gets all the Schar. Dom Rabbi Shubin Levi, says the Gemara, and the source of this is a statement from Yishubin Levi. Yishubin Levi, in fact, said, Asara Shakar B'Torah, that you have 10 people that they laned, Hagoyla Sefer Torah, the one that wraps it up, the one that does Hagbah, Kibo Schar Kulam, he receives the reward of everyone. That's what Rabbi Shubin Levi said. Says the Gemara, Schar Kulam Salkadaitach, Mamish, literally, that all the Schar goes to him. The people that got Aliyahs and read in the Torah, they don't get any Schar, Mamish. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean literally like that. Elayma, rather, what it means is Kibo Schar Kneged Kulam. Knows that the reward that Hagbah Galila gets is as great as all the Aliyahs. It doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom that they don't get the reward. It all goes to the guy that gets Hagbah. But Al Kapanim, the reward that Hagbah has is the same reward as all values. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. And so the Gemara is telling us two points. Point number one, that practically speaking, again, that was a statement to Rabbi Yochanan, that when you have a minion, they have Kriyas HaTorah, Hagadol Shavahem, the greatest of them, should get Galila, should get Hagbah Galila. And then the Gemara goes on to explain, and probably this is the reason, that you should know the one that gets Hagbah gets the schar that he receives is keneged kulam, equals all of the people that got Aliyah. Okay. So before we investigate the details of this halacha, one observation. You know, we're used to this when we read Gemara, that the Gemara like quotes a statement, has a question or some sort of comment, like the statement sounds a little bit off, like it can't be 100%. So okay, fine, let's tweak it a little bit. That's what the Gemara says over here, right? The original statement of Rabbi Shimon Levi, as recorded in the Gemara, was that the person that gets Hagbah gets all the schar of everyone else. And the Gemara said, Mamish, literally, that's what you mean. It doesn't mean that. It means that he gets the schar the same amount as everyone else. So why did Rabbi Shimon Levi say that? Like, what's this Indian that, you know, either, so I guess you can say either that there was a mistake in the tradition, that is a, you know, the wording of Rabbi Shimon Levi was somehow not 100% passed down correctly, and the Gemara is showing that no, you know, this is really what he meant, this is really what he said. But the fact that there's this dynamic, it's difficult to say that. Most likely, Rabbi Shimon Levi said those words, Noitel schar kulam, that he gets the reward of everyone else. And the Gemara is saying it can't be mamish like that. It means he gets the reward in measure, like the same amount as everyone else. So why did Rabbi Shimon Levi say that? Because he has to say the words Noitel schar kulam, Kibol schar kulam, and we have to adjust what he means. What's this hitting over here? What's going on over here? And just in general, why is Hagba such a chashva thing? Why is it such a chashva thing that it gets the same amount of schar as all the people that get aliyah? It needs explanation. Now, halacha l'maisa, based on this Gemara, there is a machlokes rishonim in the pratim, in the details of this halacha. Again, all the Gemara said is a straightforward statement, somewhat. Asar shakar b'tayra, 10 people that get that read in the Torah, you have a kriyas Torah. Hagadol shavam, the greatest of them, Goyel Sefer Torah, does the Galila, he does Hagba. Now, in Maromokah number 3, Taisvis over there on the Gemara is explaining why this is. Why would Davka, the greatest of the people, be the one to be given Hagba? So Taisvis explains that the reason for this is in connection to the next statement of the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara then goes on to say that Hagba is Naitel Schar Kulam, gets the reward of everyone else, or gets the amount of reward that everyone else has. And so because Hagba is such a chashuv thing, it's only right that it's given to the greatest person, says Taisvis. Lefi shehu kvaydai. Why should Hagba be given to the greatest person over there? Because that's the greatest honor we could bestow upon him. That's the greatest honor we could bestow upon him. From the fact that the Hagba gets such amount of reward, so obviously Hagba is a chashuv thing, so it's only fitting that it should be given to the most chashuv person in the shul. Vegam lefisha gadash of a kulam, kedai hu litel schar keneged kulam. And also, not only is the fact that there's so much reward for Hagba indicative of the fact that Hagba must be a big deal, but lemaisa, if we also have to choose someone to get a lot of schar, we give it to the chashuv, a person that anyway in his life deserves schar. So that's what Taisvis says. Kedam Rabbi Shua. Now, the understanding of Taisvis, that, again, why is Hagba being given to the most chashuv person? Because Hagba is a chashuv thing. He deserves a lot of reward anyway. If we're going to give someone all the schar, we might as well give it to him. So based on that, the first Shem Nachrenim explain that it doesn't necessarily have to be there for someone that had an aliyah. And let's say you had a minion, and they go through the aliyahs. And then at the end, right, at the end of the middle of the last aliyah, you know, the Gadol Hador walks into the shul. He already davened Shacharis, he had his Kriyas HaTorah, but he happens to walk in. So who are you going to give Hagba to? So according to Taisvis, listen, at the end of the day, Hagba is a kavod. Hagba gets a lot of schar, so you should give it to the Gadol Hador. He wasn't one of the ones that read the Torah. It's an afkamina. Hagba is a chashuv thing. Give it to the most chashuv person. The Ran, however, Maromokah number 4, makes a point that the Gemara sounds not like that. The Gemara says the Ran as follows. The Ran makes the following observation. The language of the Gemara was, it's interesting, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shavati and Rav Yechanan, again back to the beginning of Maromokah number 2, Rav Shavati said the name of Rav Yechanan, Asara Shekaru Batayra. 10 people that leaned in the Torah, Hagadol Shavam, the greatest of those people, should get Hagba. Says the Ran, the fact that the Gemara makes a point that Asara Shekaru Batayra, people that read in the Torah, the greatest of them should be the one getting Hagba, says the Ran, tells us the following Nakuda. That even if a Gadol Hador walks into shul at the end of laning, he is not the one to get Hagba. Even though Hagba is a gevaldige thing, and it's a good kavod, and it's one of the things that you can be mechabed people with, and this person is certainly deserving of kavod more than anyone in the shul right now. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that it has to be shekaru b'tayra. The ones that read in the Torah, they're the one. Someone of that, the Gadol Shebehem, the greatest of those that read, that's the one that should get Hagba. And because of that, the Ran makes the observation. Now, it's interesting because the language of the Gemara was Asara Shekar Batar, 10 people that lay. We don't get 10 aliyahs. You make Asafis and stuff like that. But it's at most 7, Mikra Din. So what does the Gemara mean, Asara Shekar Batar? So because of that point, that's where Taisis is coming from. That clearly doesn't mean literally the ones that lay, because you're not having 10 people lay. So what does it mean, Shekar? It means there was a minion that there was Kriyas HaTorah. It says, no, 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 no. Asara Shekar B'Torah means that the inyan of Hagba should be given davka to one, to the greatest of those that actually linked. So what does it mean, 10? So says the Ran, Marmok number 4, afal pi shein tzrichin likris el zayin, even though you're only going to get 7 people lane, you're not going to get 10 people lane. So the more technical language of the Gemara should have been 7 that leaned in the Torah, the greatest of them should get Hagba. Says the Ran, kivan shein kermit or bachas masara, nakit asara. Since Lamaisa, there is a minion in the shul because he can't lane without a minion. Okay, so the language of the Gemara is 10. But the real point that a person should be stressing when you read the Gemara, says the Ran, is the word shakarabatar. Shakarabatar. So let's take a step back. So what we have is, and by the way, the Ran is the source of the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the language of the Shulchan Aruch back in Maromok number 1 is, Gadol Sheba'isim Shekarubatar, the greatest amongst those that got an aliyah, he's the one, Gaila, he's the one to get Hagba and Galila. So the Shulchan Aruch is not just saying the most chashuv person in the shul. He's saying that amongst those that actually got the aliyah, even if there's someone else that's more chashuv didn't get an aliyah for whatever reason, but of the people, of the 7 or whatever the number is that got the aliyah, one of them, the chashuv of one of them, he's the one that should get Hagba. So in other words, taking a step back, we have a machlokes rishayim between Taisus and the Ran in this Gemara. Again, the Gemara is telling us definitely there's something special about Hagba, that's for sure. Noitel schar connected kulam, he gets all a reward comparative to all the aliyahs, it's gval v'gazah. And because of that, it should be given to the most chashuv of a person. But we have machlokes between Taisus and the Ran, but what does that mean, the most chashuv of a person? Says Taisus, it means the most chashuv person in the shul. He got an aliyah, he didn't get an aliyah, he just showed up. The most chashuv person in the shul should get the biggest kibbut. That's Taisus. Says the Ran, no. It has to be, even though it's the biggest kibbut, and this person is the most chashuv of a person in the shul right now. No. Hagba has to go to the most chashuv of a person of those that got an aliyah. Now this needs an explanation. What's takip shat? Taisus l'chor makes the most sense. Hagba is a kavod, it's the biggest kavod, it's the biggest kibbut. This person is deserving of the biggest kibbut. It's a shidduch. Says the Ran, Mas, I agree, Hagba is a big kavod. This person deserves kavod. He didn't get an aliyah. It has to be from within those that got an aliyah. So the question is, what is that? What does that mean? What's going on over here? So these are the questions that we have. First of all, again, Aleph, why is Hagba so chashuv? Number 2, why is the language of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi misleading? Why is Rabbi Shimon Levi, why is the tradition that the words of Rabbi Shimon Levi were that the Hagba, the person that gets Hagba, gets all the schar? That we have to then tweak it and say, no, it doesn't mean literally all the schar. It means that he gets schar in the same measure as everyone else. Why the misleading language? And number 3, the explanation in the Ran. Why would we be makbid to give Hagba, not just to the most chashuv person, but he has to be the one of the people that got an aliyah? Why limit it to such a way? Okay, let's put all that to the side. Let's move on to another discussion related to Hagba as well. Okay, so what happens? You have Kriyas HaTorah, well, Aliyas, whatever it is. And now it's time to do Hagba. But before we do Hagba, there's something that we usually do, which is Kaddish. You do Kaddish. Now, the halachas of Kaddish is interesting. In Bavli, we find, obviously, a reference to Kaddish. Kaddish is definitely mentioned. But it's a little bit hard to come to see clearly in Shas, Bavli, all the Gedarim and all the stipulations, the regulations of when to say Kaddish. It's a little bit unclear. The Rishonim fill in all the blanks and they give us our guidelines. But one of the basic times in which Kaddish has to be said is after Kriyas HaTorah. That's one of the things, after Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, a public recitation of Torah Shebichtav, is Mechayev Kaddish, obligates Kaddish. And that's why. So after Kriyas HaTorah, we say Kaddish. What's interesting is that there was a big debate amongst the Rishonim by Kriyas HaTorah when exactly to say Kaddish. And as our custom is, last Aliyah, say Kaddish, finished. And then afterwards, you do Hagba Galila. But there were Rishitas in the Rishonim that the Kaddish, which is again being obligated because of Kriyas HaTorah, should only be said after Hagba Galila. Take a look at Maromoka number 5, none other than the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Chaf, Ukisha Goymer. He's talking about the whole procedure of davening Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. Kisha Goymer. When we complete laning, Mavzir Sefer Torah L'Makayim. It's interesting, not just Hagba Galila. Says the Rambam, return the Sefer Torah to the Aron, right? And then Voymer Kaddish, and then you say Kaddish. So that's an interesting thing. So we not only to do Kaddish after Hagba Galila, but Kaddish after the Sefer Torah is returned. Now the Rishonim quote this Rambam, later Rishonim quote this Rambam, and they're mamish nispal from. It's mamish, it's a pellet, such a thing. Usually, when we have in halacha, there's procedural things of what to do. And b'derech klal, when you have a certain act, which is machayev, which is the source of the obligation to say kaddish, so you want to say kaddish right away. Maybe mafsik and do other things in between. So the Rishonim make the point of saying, it doesn't make any sense what the Rambam is talking about. What is obligating kaddish? What's obligating kaddish is what? Is kriyas haTorah. So right after kriyas haTorah, say kaddish. What's this in? No. Do Hag B'Galila, not just Hag B'Galila. Get the Chag, let's say it's a large shul. So it's a whole mahalach to get back to the Aron. Do all of that and then say Kaddish. Mamash HaPalah. Take a look at Maromok number 6. This is from one of the Rishonim called the Sefer HaPardes. The Sefer HaPardes is also dealing with this. It's interesting that the shita that the Pardes is dealing with is not as extreme as the Rambam, but it is similar. That the shita that the Pardes is dealing with is a sheet that he records that the Kaddish should be said after Hag B'Galila. Okay, the Rambam is taking it even further, that not just after Hag B'Galila, say the Kaddish after the Sefer Torah is reading the Aron. But it's the same basic problem. Why not say right away after Kriyas HaTorah? The Kriyas HaTorah is the Mechayev. That's what obligated you to say Kaddish. Why are you delaying it anyway, at all? So says the Sefer Pardes like this, Eina Chazen Oymer Kaddish Miyad. Says the Pardes, the Chazen should not say Kaddish right away. Again, it's not our custom. But he says the chazan should not say kaddish right away. La'achar siyam kriyas haTorah, right after lehi. You should not say kaddish right away. Ella mimaher ligla haTorah. You should, there shouldn't be a lot of mishaberes over here. Do ha'agba right away. Ubolof ne'atayra merkaddish and then say kaddish. Then the chazan should say kaddish. Why? So the pardes is being more the point. Why should kaddish be delayed? Says the pardes, this is not a delay. V'siyuma arifta b'kriyas haTorah adhem. Because kriyas haTorah doesn't end. With the last word of Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah ends with Hag B'Galila. It ends with Hag B'Galila. Umav Shemasik Meitayim, and even though it might seem like a hefsek, Kriyas HaTorah ended with the final bracha, right? And then you're just putting away the Sefer Torah. Says the Pardes, that's not a hefsek at all. Lechashav Hafsaka, V'kula Siyum Arechti. It's all one long ending. So when does Kriyas HaTorah really officially end, says the Pardes? It ends after Hag B'Galila. And in the Rambam, technically, it really ends when the Sefer Torah is back. And so you're talking about, so when is Kaddish supposed to be said? After Kriyas HaTorah. Well, Kriyas HaTorah is not over until Hagba is done. So this needs explanation. I thought Kriyas HaTorah means to lane from the Torah. How in the world is Hagba considered to be the ending of Kriyas HaTorah? I understand it's a necessary thing to do after Kriyas HaTorah. You've got to put the Sefer Torah away, and it's nice to do it in a respectful but kavodik way. But that technically speaking, halachically, it is the ending, it is a hemshech, it is the ending of Kriyas HaTorah. So this is, again, like I said, this is a sheet of the Rambam, it's a sheet of the Sefer HaPardes, but the truth is, we should know, that we do, to a certain degree, all of us rely on this at least once a week, and that is by Shabbos Mincha. Shabbos Mincha is a strange thing, because right after laning, so usually on Monday and Thursday, for example, after laning, there's Asher Voltzian, there's a whole thing, right? And Shabbos by Shachris also, right after laning, there's, also Tfilos Musaf and a whole thing that's set, Asher. But when it comes to Shabbos Mincha, what's interesting is what's the procedure? You say Asher Voletzion first, then you say Kriyas HaTorah, and then you basically go straight into Shemoneh Esrei. Now, here's the problem that the Rishonim deal with. Kriyas HaTorah requires a Kaddish after it, right? Shemoneh Esrei, one of the rules of Kaddish is that before Shemoneh Esrei, you also need a Kaddish. So technically, if you think about it, by Mincha and Shabbos, the procedure should be as follows. Asher Voletzion, fine. Kriyas HaTorah. A Kaddish because of Kriyas HaTorah. And then another Kaddish before Shemoneh Esrei. But that's very odd to do two Kaddishes back to back. So therefore what we do is one Kaddish. But this one Kaddish is like a little bit funny. It's a little bit funny. Because we need the one Kaddish to be said both as a introduction to Shemoneh Esrei, and also that same Kaddish has to be taken care of Kriyas HaTorah that was said prior to it. But the problem is, if the Kaddish for Kriyas HaTorah should be said right after Kriyas HaTorah, and the Kaddish for Shemoneh Esrei should be said right before Shemoneh Esrei, but in between is Hag B'Galila, so what do we do? So what's the custom? So the custom is, you say, you lane, you do Hag B'Galila, and then you say Kaddish right before Shemoneh Esrei, and you hope that Kaddish, and that's the assumption, that Kaddish works for everything. Hag B'Galila is a hafsek. The answer is Shabbos by Mincha we're relying on these shitas, right? The Rambam and so on, that Hagba Galila is not a hefsek to Kriyas HaTorah, it's a hemshech to Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, the Kaddish that's said before Shemini Esrei is considered to be right before Shemini Esrei and right after Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah was a couple minutes ago before Hagba Galila. No. The Rambam and Sefer Paradis, they're telling us Hagba Galila is a hemshech. The truth is, you should know, there are, you know, for example, the minig in Chabad, the minig is to, what they do is they begin Kaddish slowly while Hagbul is happening in order to sort of alleviate the tension over here, that one Kaddish is being said, but it sort of straddles both. But the general custom of most Kehilas is not like that. That we talk away till after Hagbah Galila, and after the Sefer Torah is already placed in the Aron, and then Kaddish is said, and we assume that Kaddish is both before Shemini Esrei and for the Kriyas HaTorah that was before Hagbah Galila and before Achnas Sefer Torah. So what's interesting is that even though this Shita of the Rambam and the Sefer Paradis is something we don't necessarily rely on every Monday and Thursday and Shabbos in the morning, we don't. Over there, we just say Kaddish right after Kriyas HaTorah before Hagbah Galila. When it comes to Shabbos by Mincha already, we're assuming like this. So, another two questions. First of all, again, what's this idea that Hagbah and Galila is considered to be a continuation or a completion of Kriyas HaTorah itself? Number one. And number two, the sepis that we would rely on that sheet, the Davka by Shabbos Mincha. I understand that we're kind of stuck in the corner. You know, we don't have anywhere to go. We have no choice, sort of. But Hashkacha Pratis, everything that Kal Yisrael does is obviously with divine providence, especially something that's so chashuv as the minig of Kal Yisrael by davening Shabbos by Mincha. So why is it that somehow Davka by Shabbos Mincha, this sheet of the Rambam and Sefer Paradis is like shining strong, that Akadei Kach, that the Jewish people rely on attack every week? Follow? Okay. So this all started with the Gemara. The Gemara said this idea that the most chashuv thing is Hagbah. And the Hagbah is Noitel Schar Keneged Kuv. So let's understand. So in Marmoka number 7, there's a very, very famous piece from the Nefesh HaChaim, Rechaim Volozhiner. It's in Shar Dalet, Perek Dalet. This is just really a snippet of a longer discussion that Rechaim himself has over here. Rechaim is talking about the relationship between Yiras Hashem, Tveikis, Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and learning Torah. Okay? Now people very often make the mistaken assumption that, you know, that in the world of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Torah Lishma means like just Torah. Yeah, and God, you think about God by davening, but God has nothing to do with learning, Chas V'Shalom. That's not at all the sheet of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. We don't have the time right now to get involved in the, you know, in this, it's really late, I'm sorry. We have to get involved in this particular sugya of Torah Lishma and so on, but just a little window. Reb Chaim Volozhiner certainly agrees that even that Torah has to be connected to God. A person has to be conscious of the fact that whatever it is that you're learning, this is Torah Hashem. This is a way in which you connect to the infinite light of God Himself. That's what Torah is. That's what defines Torah as something that's not just secular wisdom. Is that this is wisdom that's pulsating with God's presence. And unless a person is conscious of that and sort of engages in Torah from that perspective, that this body of work that you are, this information that you're absorbing into your brain and becoming a part of you is literally divine wisdom, then that's not Torah. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes the following thing. A Yiras Hashem, again, we're not going to go through all of it, you can see yourself, but just here in a few pieces here and there. Ki Yiras Hashem tchila hi ikar hakiyam shel chacham satar. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the awareness, the sensitivity of Yiras Hashem, of an awareness of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's presence and how this information is what God deeply is attached to, and Pnimius Ritzonius Baruch is revolving around this wisdom. That's what sustains Torah. That's what defines it as Torah. Without that sensitivity of Yiras Hashem, then it's not Torah. It's just, you know, God also obviously thought about and thinks about gravity. Because if God wasn't thinking about gravity, there would be no such thing as gravity. So why is gravity not Torah? What's the difference between, in other words, Hashem obviously is thinking about Hilchas Tzitzis, and he's also thinking about gravity. So why don't I make a Birchas HaTorah when I'm learning about gravity? The answer is, of course, God's thinking about gravity too. But in the Sumer HaKadoshim, it's called Chitzonius Ritzonius Baruch. Everyone has this, you know, there are certain conversations that you have with people that you sort of have to have it. And then you have conversations with people because you want to have those conversations, right? So someone, you know, conversations you have with work, about work, with co-workers, obviously, if I'm getting those words out of my mouth, it's by choice. I'm not being forced, but it's not what you really want to be talking about. But then, hopefully, when you're speaking with your spouse or with a close friend, those are conversations you want to have. The Rabbanu Shalom Kiryachal, obviously, so to speak, he had to talk about gravity. He has to think about gravity. That's not, you know, because without gravity, it'll be a little bit difficult to navigate the world. But that's not really where the Rabbanu Shalom's kishkas, so to speak, are being placed. But when it comes to Torah, the definition of Torah is that these are concepts, these are words that the Rabbanu Shalom said, from the depth of who the Rabbanu Shalom Kiviyachol is. And when we engage in those wisdoms and those concepts, the Rabbanu Shalom's presence is pulsating within it. And that's what defines it as Torah. So it says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the sense of Yiras Hashem is the key, it's the ikar. Without that, it's not Torah. It's a famous chazal. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that breaks down the pasuk in a certain way that every word corresponds to one of the shishish mishnah. And chazal in that pasuk contain gives a hint to all of shas. And what does the Gemara end off with based on that pasuk? Yiras Hashem has to be the warehouse, the storage house, the vessel in which all of that wisdom has to exist. And without that vessel of Yiras Hashem, it's pasha not Torah. It's not there. It doesn't have a kiyum, and it's simply not Torah. And as Rav Chaim Volozhiner is telling us is that Yiras Hashem, a sense of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's presence and an awe and a reverence to what this information is not just a maila ba'alma, it's not just a side benefit, the difference between a tzaddik and a regular person. No. This defines the experience as Talmud Torah. It defines the experience as something transcendent. Instead of learning about things that just help you navigate your practical life, these things that you learn bring you to a higher space. They bring you to a higher place in the soul. They bring you to a higher place in divinity. That's something that will happen when there's a sense of Yiras Hashem, when there's a sense that this information is an elevator, this information is a rocket ship, it's taking you to a higher place. And that defines it as the So we have a time during the week, throughout the week, where we have collective Talmud Torah. We have Talmud Torah of each individual person, where then the responsibility to make sure that what you're learning is within the context of the Yiras Hashem, that's on you. But then we have Talmud Torah of the Tzibur, of the Rabbim, and that's called Kriyas HaTorah. That's what we do Kriyas HaTorah for, right? To make sure Maisha was Masakin, it shouldn't be 3 days without learning. And so it's Talmud Torah of the Tzibur. So Chazal were Masakin the following idea. If we're being Masakin that there should be such a thing as Talmud Torah, and there's and the people that are getting the aliyahs are the melamdim. They are the ones that are learning Torah on behalf of the whole tzibur, in the name of the whole tzibur. Then we have to also make sure that there has to be a clear point to establish that this is taka Torah, that this is not just information that we're learning because it's interesting or because it helps us be yotzei and to make sure, you know, to guarantee we don't go to hell or something like that. That this is a transcendent experience. Like the famous Yerushalmi says that Kriyas HaTorah has to be reminiscent of Har Sinai. In certain halachas we have because of that. So the part of this, part of the intention of Chazal is that it shouldn't just be stam learning of the community. That it should be seen, it should be clear that it's Torah and what Torah truly is, which is an experience of the divine of divine wisdom. And so this is the Inyan of Hagba. The Inyan of Hagba is not, and Galila is not just, well, listen, the Sefer Torah is there. You gotta put it away. So Let's make a kibbutz, you know. You know, it's like you have this by wedding sometimes. So there's too many people to give a kibbutz to, so you got to make stuff up, right? So the great uncle of the chassan is mechubet to bring the kittel to the chuppah, you know, stuff like that. Okay, you have to do that stuff. Chazal not doing that with Lane. So what's this inyan of Hagba? Hagba is the Yiras Hashem Yitzar. That's what Hagba is. Hagba is the person getting up and picking up the Torah and the whole tzibur having a sense of his roimus and Yiras HaKadosh to the Sefer Torah. That is a collective reminder that you know what this is. This is something altogether different. This is, when we talk about Hagba, you know, Chazal call it Galila. Why do we call it Hagba? It's because Chazal are telling you what you're doing, which is technically Galila, but Klal Yisrael Nav Neviim Heim, B'nei Neviim Heim, where the term that we use is a term that describes what's happening, what's being communicated by that Maisa. The Maisa is Galila. But the communication is Hagba, that this was an experience, and some kilos do Hagba before Kriyas HaTorah. Okay? Some places do it after. But either case, the point is it's being communicated that what you just experienced, what you're about to experience, is a mice of Hagba. You're being put to a different place. It's Yiras Hashem Yitzara. This is why, let's go back. This is why Rav Yishuv ben Levi, the words that he said were that the Baal Hagba, the one that gets Hagba, gets all the schar from the Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because it's not just he did a chash of a thing and he gets, without Hagba, then the whole Kriyas HaTorah was not Torah. The whole thing was just stam, a piece of chachma. But what defined it as Torah was through the Hagba. So of course, it's noikta schar kulam. So says the Gemara, that literally, mamish, they don't get schar at all. No, they get schar. You just get schar keneged kulam. But the fact that he used that terminology is trying to bring this point across, which is that Hagba is what defined Kriyas HaTorah as Kriyas HaTorah. And without the Hagba, there was no Kriyas HaTorah. That's why he uses such a strong lashon that he gets all of their schar. Because the function of Hagba is to define what you just experienced as Taka Kriyas HaTorah. And this is why, according to the Ran, it has to dafka be the ones that had the laning are the ones that do the Hagba. Because again, one of the conditions of Yiras Hashem is not just in Torah itself. Chazal say, based on a pasuk, Imarav Daim Lamalach, if the Rebbe, the one that teaches Torah, if he's someone that's saturated with Yiras Hashem, then he's someone that you should learn Torah from. Of the collective, you know, chevra that are the ones that got the aliyah, they are the rebbeim of the shul for the Talmud Torah Derabim. And so you need of that collective group, they also have to represent and embody this truth of Yiras Hashem. If it's someone from the outside, then the rav needs to be done with lamala. And so the rav over here are the seven people that got the aliyah. So the seven people also have to express and embody and represent Yiras Hashem. So of them, the greatest of them, the one that represents the rest of them, he's the one that gets Hagba. Dafka, because that's what Hagba is. This is also why, again, like I said in the Rambam and so on, Hagba is the siyum of the Kriyas, it's the end of Kriyas HaTorah. Again, it defines the experience as Kriyas HaTorah, as opposed to just some reading words or an intellectual pursuit. The whole thing is redefined as a Maisa Hagba, through the Maisa of Hagba. It's not Hefsek at all. It's the completion, it's the Shlemus, it actually is the thing that defines the entire experience as Kriyas HaTorah. And of all times in the year, of all times in the week, I should say, I'm sorry, the one time that this shita, that this clarity, that this inyan of what Hagba does, and the redefinition of Torah itself as from being just things that we learn about to an experience of transcendence, davka comes by Mincha and Shabbos. Mincha Shabbos, as we know, time of Shal Shudas, it's a time of Rav Deravim. Rav Deravim, the will of all wills. The will of all wills means that, you know, the Zohar Kodesh has that term for Shal Shudas, that it's a time of will, what's in Shevaret Sinus. What does that mean? So Torah, listen, you know, all of Torah is called the Ratzon Hashem. But what's the Ratzon Shevaret Sinus of Hashem? The Ratzon Shevaret Sinus, the will of all wills, is the Hagba that Torah brings to us. That's the Ratzon Shevaret Sinus. In other words, Hashem wants you. The Ratzon of Hashem is all the details of Yiddishkeit. All the details that you can learn about. But what's the Ratzon Shevaret Sinus? What are all those details about? What are they trying to bring you to? What they're trying to bring you to is Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem and Dveikus BaHashem. Of course, that's what it's trying to bring you. So, and that's exactly what the Hagba experience is about. It's about reminding us that all the things that we just learned about, there's a Rav Deravin behind it. There's a divine experience behind it that's making it a transcendent experience. That defines it as transcendence. It's a davka of all times of the week that we're going to be more sensitive to the sheet of the Rambam and the sheet of the Paradis. That Hagba is not just another thing that we do at the end of Kriyas HaTorah. No, that's what defines it as such. Without Hagba, then it wasn't Torah either. It's davka at a time of Rav Deravin, where it becomes apparent to the soul that God isn't just, that there's, that besides the many Ritzinus that God has, there is one central Ritzin behind all those Ritzinus, which is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha B'li Elokecha Elokim Apona. And so this is what's going on over here. Something that's small and, you know, it comes and goes. Hagba Galila, it's no big deal, right? People buy Aliyah, Hagba Galila is not the one that goes for the most, right? But Adrab, in that Prat Sheva Prat, that's Mamish, that redefines the whole experience as one long statement, one big statement is Anoichi B'li Elokecha. Hashem should bless each and every one of us. Taka we should be zeichet v'makashir ourselves to Torah, to the Ratzon Shevaret Sinus of all of Torah. Should be zeichet v'yis kol tzedek, and here v'yimeinu. Amen.